I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
Going well.
Good. You have a good Easter?
Yeah, I went and had dinner with my folks and hung out with some friends with their kids. And
cool. I used a nice little piece of technology in preparing my Easter dinner. Are you familiar with the sous vide? You know what that is?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very technical cooking.
Yes, we did our... And actually, the one I was using was kind of low-tech, but it's a thing you clamp on the side of the pot, a pot of water, and you set it for a temperature, and it circulates the water, basically brings it up to that temperature and circulates it. And then you take in your shrink wrap, your meat, and with seasonings, and you then throw them in the water bath. And so I did like a lamb leg, like a boneless lamb leg. I cut it into three pieces and seasoned it all up and put it, you know, sealed it up in three different bags and put it in the water. And I think I put it in about 7:30. And the great thing about it is that, you know, like normally when you cook stuff, you heat the oven up to 375, 400 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you've got a 375 degree oven, there's always the potential that if you leave the food in the oven long enough, it will eventually be 375 degrees all the way through, right?
Yes, carbonized.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever eaten a piece of meat that was had been cooked to 375 degrees the way through?
I don't think so. It might have been 800 or 900 degrees on the outside.
Yeah. There you go. But anyway, the thing about sous vide is that, and I know you're not supposed to pronounce the D in sous vide.
That's right. Salter.
Sous vide. So exactly. So I basically set it for 134.4 degrees, and that's as hot as that lamb leg got all the way through, which is the perfect temperature for it. And, if there's something about cooking it that way, that is, it comes out so tender, and then you take it out and you put it in a hot skillet with a little bit of oil and get it all browned up on the outside. And, but it was really, if I do say so myself. And the great thing about it is you just throw it in the water and forget it.
You know, so it doesn't matter.
It was in there for 8 hours. You know, I mean, it's like, and I was out driving around doing errands. I wasn't worried about the oven catching fire, which that's happened to me, you know, or the smoke alarm going off. You know, that didn't happen. And, the meat came out perfectly. So anyway, I've got one that, I think it's called an Anova. And it's Bluetooth compatible.
Oh, so you can adjust the temperature with your phone?
You can actually adjust the temperature with your phone. So when it's preheating, you can just fire up your Anova app. And, you know, it basically will sit there and tell you, and it'll beep when the water's come up to temperature. And then it also has a built-in timer. And it also has a big old database of recipes that you can, you know, say, okay, this is what I'm cooking in my Anova sous vide today. Give me some recipe ideas. So it's like I was saying, the one I was using yesterday didn't have Bluetooth capability, but I got through it. You know, it wasn't a problem.
I've seen I was looking at a real high end induction cooktop, and they had a it was a tenth of a degree control from something like, you know, but like 75 degrees up to like 600 or 700 degrees in tenths of a degree.
Really?
Control for your cooking.
For the cooktop.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. Cause that's one of the biggest problems with electric cooktops is that, you know, they usually have like three different speeds, low, medium, and high, or low, medium, and burned, you know? And
it doesn't have like Therby Dragons or something like that at the top end.
No, it should. It should. Absolutely.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. If you're tired of listening to us talk about cookware, which is fairly geeky.
It is. I mean,
anymore.
That's the great thing. It's the Internet of Things, right?
You know? Yes. All the things are on our Internet.
Actually, I'm a little disappointed that I cannot actually remote into my sous vide.
Oh, it's running a degree low. I need to let it sit for another hour.
Yeah. But you know darn well that it's coming, and you'll need to add a port forwarding rule or get one that's got a cloud based interface, you know. So
yeah.
It's
and then somebody can run an attack on your network from your sous vide machine.
There you go. Somebody can ruin your dinner.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to turn that up to 200 yeah. degrees.
Well, you know, the great thing is you can sit down at the table and go and blame it on the Russians, you know? So it's, sometimes you just got to blame it on the Russians. That's all I got to say. So.
Or your password's let me in 123.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great eats, exclamation mark. With a capital G and a capital E.
Oh, because it forces you to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the XKCD password? It's a geeky comic, online comic.
I have not.
And so they have this, one of the comics is about password strength.
Okay.
And so the first one is, okay, uncommon English word. So they chose, I think, trombone or troubadour or something like that.
Okay.
And then they went, okay, well, let's see, we'll do common substitutions.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, well, then the O gets replaced with a zero and a few other things. And
okay.
And then it's like, oh, well, now we have to add we'll add two random special characters at the end of this contrivance. Okay.
All right.
And, it, you know, so you end up with this word and a couple of special characters and some numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it goes and says, well, if you can guess this 1,000 times a second, which is not a very big number for a computer,
mm-hmm.
it'll take a computer about 5 days to figure this password out.
Got it. Okay.
And then it has a little human sitting there going, well, what was it again? Was it trombone? Was it troubadour? What, you know, it'll
take the human twice as long as the computer to remember it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's going to take me 10 days to remember that one.
Nice.
And then it goes, it has a picture of a correct horse battery staple.
Okay.
Which is just five English words random words in a string,
mm-hmm.
which gives you a much higher entropy, which is how technology people measure password strength.
Okay.
And so it would take a computer guessing 1,000 times a second, 550 years to guess okay. that password.
Nice. Okay.
And all right. and you've already memorized that nonsense sentence that I said, mm-hmm. correct horse battery staple.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay.
So then he says, after 20 years of poor choices of admins making passwords more complicated, we end up with that.
Yeah. Okay. So. All right. So the entropy test is here rolled out here on Geek Speak.
Yeah. Or you can go to Wikipedia and look up, they have a, if you go to password strength, they have a nice table and they go through and if it's just numbers, they'll tell you how much entropy it has. And if you're using the full ASCII set or just the 96 typable letters and special characters on your keyboard and so on. And then it also has diceware, which is, would be something akin to correct horse battery staple.
Got it. Okay. Nice. And I would have to go and look up what entropy means again. because there's something about my mind that has decayed to its fullest potential to the point where I can't remember what entropy means again. Just kidding. But
it's random. It's randomness. It's how random an event is.
Yeah.
And so everything's heading to higher entropy as opposed to lower entropy and it's part of thermodynamics.
Or a higher level of decay, right?
Yes.
Just as I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a small chance that on a beach somewhere, a sandcastle will automatically assemble itself.
Okay.
But the chances of that actually happening are extraordinarily low.
Got it.
That you'd have to, it's kind of like your car could seep into your
house. Well, it's kind of like spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe not.
Which, the likes of which has been discussed on my favorite movie, Repo Man. Mm-hmm. So it's,
listening.
It just happens, you know, people explode. So they burst into flames.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. 963-2976.
Looks like we get a call here.
You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey, on my Outlook, my Hotmail, I used to be able to go to the search and go back and look at old emails. And then those guys changed it, so it's only the name. It used to be where you could do it by date and by name.
Huh.
Now you can only do it by the name, and it only goes back to the first of the year. Do you guys, is there a way to go back further for old emails?
Let's clarify. Are you using the Outlook.com, like web-based mail system? Is that what we're talking about here? Or are you using the standalone Outlook program to retrieve your Hotmail?
Yeah, well, when I open up my emails, it's just my Hotmail account or the Outlook.
Okay.
And on that page, it's the search, you know.
Yeah. What do you open? Do you open something like Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer
Firefox,
to get there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So,
yeah, Firefox. Right.
So you're using webmail.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Boy, I haven't
run into that one.
Let's see. I'm going to Google it here really quick. Limited search.
So, is there an archived folder, or do you keep everything in your inbox? How do you organize your email?
Yeah, it's just above the inbox. It just says search, you know, and you can click it, and you have to enter a name to go back to your old emails. But, you know, not long ago, you could enter a date and bring up a whole page of old emails. But they changed that for some reason.
It's a premium feature now. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it would be.
What do you guys do to search old emails?
Well, I usually just use, mine comes through on Google, so I just use Google to do that. Although I do have Thunderbird go through and keep a copy of all of my emails locally. So I turn on Thunderbird, which is like Outlook that's about the only one left. And so if I look in there, it'll show me. Now, they may be archiving the emails, so there may be a folder on the left-hand side of the web interface that says archived emails, and sometimes a search won't go into that folder. It'll just search the inbox. Although we're not
fine. Right.
We haven't found much yet, apparently.
I'm looking here.
All right. So are you in front of your computer right now?
No.
All right. Yeah, the first thing I would do is on the left-hand side, there should be a list of, it'll be like inbox, sent, drafts, deleted, trash.
Right.
See if there's one over there called archive and see if there's anything in there. I've never heard of them purging their messages or anything like that, so that seems a little odd. And if you just go to your inbox and then just keep scrolling down until, does it only go back to the beginning of the year, or?
Well, I haven't scrolled that far back. I usually just would go to the search mail and type in a date, and it would go back to that date, like years back, you know, whatever you type in. But then you know, Outlook changed it a few months ago, and you can't do that anymore, so I didn't know. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
one
of the tips that I came up with is, have you tried clearing the browser cache on your Firefox?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So the main tip that I'm coming across is, actually, there's two tips. One is to clear your browser cache, and the other one is to try starting Firefox or going in and disabling any add-ons or extensions that you have.
Okay.
And then see if the problem goes away after you do that.
Okay.
So that's the main thing that I got, and that came directly from a Microsoft support engineer. So that's, I think, would be a good starting place. So so let us know how it goes, if you would.
I will. Great.
All right.
Also,
thanks for the
quickie.
Oh, sure.
I wanted to get a new Mac desktop this summer.
Okay.
And I read that the Apple has redone the Mac. And it'll be coming out this summer. Have you heard anything about what they've done with it?
Boy, I'm going to bounce that one to Matt.
Like an upgrade, a major upgrade.
I know all about the MacBooks, but the iMacs. I'm a little bit behind schedule on that.
Yeah, the only thing I know of currently is that there's going to be a major revamp of the Mac Pro sometime in 2018.
Okay.
They didn't come out and say that directly. That's what most people are thinking, since the last time the Mac Pro was revamped was 2013. So it's basically running, 4 year old hardware at this point. It's a professional device. So, that was the main thing. It sounded like they may be considering doing something to the iMac line as well. When they released that information, which is unusual for Apple.
Right.
So when you order that iMac, be really careful to don't make the assumption that you're going to be able to upgrade it after your initial order. Everything that you order, that you're going to be pretty much, I don't want to use the word stuck with, but you'll be stuck with whatever you order, because it's, you cannot upgrade those anymore.
Okay.
They basically, right. It's so shoot the moon, yeah. You know, max out the credit card, do whatever, borrow money from your, you know, from your dog, you know.
And the other thing to do is, doesn't MacRumors.com have a buying guide?
I think they do. Yeah.
So I would go check out MacRumors.com, and I think they have a buying guide, and it's real simple. It says, you know, this one's been refreshed recently. You know, you should buy it, or it's like, this one hasn't been refreshed recently. We were expecting, you know, an update to come soon, and, you know, they'll have any rumors about the upgrades available there as well. So.
Oh, great. I'll try that.
I think that'd be a good place to start. I think it's Mac Rumors, and then it's like buying guide or something like that, and they'll kind of go through each one of the types of Macs and say whether it's, you know, it's probably a good time to buy or not. The other thing to do is you may want to look at the Mac or Apple.com has a refurbished section that changes daily, and you can usually get a pretty fair machine from there, you know, for a little bit less if that's a concern.
Right. Yeah, I'll check it out.
All right. Happy shopping.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. We have a few more minutes. 963-2976.
So you know what clickbait is, Matt?
All too well.
Clickbait are those headlines that you just can't resist.
Yeah. It's like, do you know what they look like now?
Let's see, what were some of the good ones on my...
We got another call. You're on with the Geeks.
Attention radio station owner or manager. Better Merchant Services calling you with an important announcement.
We're getting a spam call on the air.
Credit and debit card.
That's just too good.
Radio stations have their rates.
Too bad it's not asking about our Windows computer.
Through the Durbin Amendment.
It's not asking us to call India.
We have found that many processors are not.
You couldn't even plan that.
No, not even.
Yeah, hang up on it.
Goodbye. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. If you're a robot, don't bother calling.
I would give anything to get one of those guys from India to call us, though.
Wouldn't that'd be awesome? Fabulous.
Yeah. I wonder how you can solicit that type of stuff.
So, well, I think, yeah. Well, we can do it the other way around. We can go onto a website and get the number.
Yeah. So actually, that takes us into an article I was reading. It has to do with, it looks like we get another call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hello, this is Raji. How are you today?
Doing very well.
I have to call and tell. This week I was playing on my computer. I thought it was a video game, and I accidentally created a misfire for the North Korean missile the other day.
Ah, very nice. Very nice.
Yes, yes. I enjoyed it much. It was very good. I feel it was a peaceful means to a peaceful end.
Okay. Good job. Good job.
Thank you. Good day.
All right.
Man, we are getting some real local color here.
Yeah.
Or not some not so local color. Yeah. So have you heard the speculation is that the Korean missile may have misfired due to malware?
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't put it past certain entities to do things of such.
Well, I guess they basically got the software that is controlling their missile, they got from some outside source. So
was it an Arduino?
Arduino? I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's a little MIPS processor. So it's like a 50 megahertz or 100 megahertz microcontroller that you can program. With it has its own IDE and innovated, and so you can program it, and then you tell it to do something, and it'll sit there and do the outputs that you've commanded it to do.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet it was a Raspberry Pi. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, all you need is a GPS, right?
It's like, hey, it takes up too much room. Not. So.
Well, then they should have gone with the Raspberry Pi Zero then.
How big is that?
It's the size of an SD, or not SD, it's a DIMM for your laptop.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it uses the same interface, so you get a DIMM slot, and then you can break that out onto your board and do whatever you want with it.
Okay, got it. Well, you know, it's kind of, I was actually reading an article about, it was actually an article called Five Top Facebook Scams. And because, you know, a lot of our listeners spend a lot of time on Facebook. And one of the, I'd recommend anybody this, I'm actually have to attribute this, the content to Kim Commando. And that's www.commando.com. And you could find this article. But one of the ones that I thought was especially interesting or important is that apparently there was a fake Facebook customer service number floating around on the internet, including Google. It would come up in like one of the top results if you type that in. And it would take you to somebody who would do everything that they could to separate you from your valuable personal information. And then you would be,
if you're talking to tech support and they ask for your password, they're probably not tech support.
Yes.
Because they should be an admin on the site and be able to reset the password.
Everything is masked on their end. Yeah, that's, you know, any phone support person that asks you for your password. Anyway, one of the things that really comes out of this article is that if you are an avid Facebook user and you have a need for technical support, the only place that you can get technical support for Facebook is through their online help team. And
is that help.facebook.com or?
You know, let's see. Here we go. I'm going to click on a link. Oh, my God. No, what?
Do we have a number to call?
It's facebook.com/help. And so the bottom line is there is no such thing as a Facebook tech support phone number. You can look for it until you're blue in the face, and you will probably meet all kinds of interesting individuals in the process of trying to reach somebody. But there is no such thing. You know, it's been speculated that it's just a large building made out of blue bricks, and there are really actually no human beings inside there. So,
get another call.
Another call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hi, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Doing
good.
Well.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I don't particularly have anything to say. I just got out of a meeting. I thought I'd quickly call and find out what you guys were talking about and if I could contribute anything. I don't know.
Facebook scams.
We're talking about the top five Facebook scams.
Oh.
Yeah. You have any favorites?
The only one, well, first of all, I've really changed my privacy settings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I used to get, you know, people trying to, you know, be my Facebook friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some military person. I mean, mm-hmm. It's all fake, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are those scams that show the same picture over and over with different names. And mm-hmm. Yeah. But those are the only Facebook scams I think I've run into.
Yeah. Because, you know, there's this whole thing about, and I don't know exactly how people do this, but they will stalk people who have public Facebook profiles, and they'll create a second, you know, the people like where that shows all your, you know, all of your friends and everything on a public basis. They make a list of all your friends. They create another profile with the exact same name as you. And then and they steal your picture. And they go in and then they start sending out friend requests to everybody that's on your publicly available friend list.
Oh, boy.
So and then the fun begins. So
I should make sure my privacy settings are such that they can't see my friends.
Exactly. Just basically nobody, no stalkers can see your friends. So.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for
good
the
talking
insight.
To you, dear. We'll talk to you next
have
week.
A good day.
Take care.
Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in the studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Hope you have a great week, everyone.
And don't touch your knob.